I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, the marquee matchup in college basketball on this Saturday, an SEC showdown between number 1 Tennessee and number 5 Kentucky. 8 Eastern ESPN TV and the ESPN app. Volunteers are riding a school record 19-game winning streak. This is the 11th game all time between top 5 SEC schools. The Wildcats have been involved in every single one of those matchups, but this will be the first one against Tennessee. NBA, the Pelicans, beginning the process of looking for a new general manager after the firing of Del Demps. His dismissal comes amid the turmoil surrounding superstar center Anthony Davis, who has requested a trade. Danny Ferry has been appointed interim GM. There will be a great deal of pressure on Demps' successor when it comes to trading Davis, explains ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski.
It's going to impact them for a decade to come. What do they get back for him? Then, you're going to get back draft picks, and who's going to select those players, and who's going to set a new course for this organization? And the first team in the league who's out in the marketplace looking for a new GM, and I'm told they're going to be willing to spend, and they're going to be aggressive to try to bring in a high-profile, or certainly a high-performing GM candidate.
With the trade deadline passed, Davis can't be dealt until this summer. Meantime, Davis continuing to get treatment on his injured shoulder. His availability for this weekend's All-Star game and related events is uncertain. Coverage of All-Star Saturday night begins at 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Golf, Justin Thomas, Adam Scott share the lead at the rain-plagued Genesis Open. Jordan Spieth is 3 back, and Tiger Woods is 9 off the lead.
Team LeBron, Team Giannis, the NBA's best go head-to-head tomorrow. The NBA All-Star Game, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, presented by Boost Mobile.
The Call for Post news is current for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing News, independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing News Radio Network. Hey, good morning, everybody. It is time once again for Off to the Races. My name is Frank Vesey, and I just can't believe it's time that we stopped doing the show last year in July, and it's already time to start again. Feels like that was just yesterday, but we are back at it here on Off to the Races. And for the next 60 minutes and for the next several months in this time slot, we are going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding here in Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us. We do enjoy it. And like I said, kind of hard to believe we're back at it already on Off to the Races. A lot of things have happened, even though it feels like it was just yesterday. But we're excited to be back, and we're excited for a couple reasons. And one of those reasons is that we're extending the show this year. We're going to be in this time slot from now through mid-July, as we have been the last several years. But then we're going to extend our show for several more weeks beyond that. Haven't quite figured out the time slot details, but we are excited to extend the show for several more weeks this year in 2019. And the reason we're extending the show, well, that's the other thing we're excited about. Live racing returning to the Old Dominion. Live thoroughbred racing will be back. Colonial Downs will be back. The new Colonial Downs in New Kent, going to be opening August 8th for live thoroughbred racing, August 8th through September 7th. So we're really looking forward to that, looking forward to being able to play the ponies live back in New Kent. Speaking of which, a little bit later on today's program, we've got a great program lined up, and a little bit later, we're going to have John Marshall join us. John is the vice president and general manager of the new Colonial Downs. He's the man who could give us kind of the lowdown on what is happening in New Kent and around the state as they are working both to rebuild and rejuvenate their OTB network and also to prepare for the second inaugural season of racing at the new Colonial Downs this summer. So really looking forward to talking to John and getting the update on all of that. We're also going to have on today's program in a little bit, Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club. He's the president of the Maryland Jockey Club. He's going to be talking to us live from Laurel Park. Laurel has 5 states on the docket today, 2 of them graded. A really, really fun card. This is a handicapper's delight. You got grade 3 General George has 14 horses in it, maybe 13 after scratches, and the grade 3 Barbara Fritchie has 10, and both are wide open. A lot of ways to go. So we'll be talking with Sal Sinatra about that, as well as other things going on in Maryland. So we're looking forward to that conversation. And if you've been listening to the show, this is, by the way, I believe our 21st year on the air on Off to the Races. It would not be Off to the Races if we didn't have a conversation with the man, myth, and legend, Derby Bill Watson, and, of course, Nick Hahn, the two mainstays of this program for many, many years. They're going to join us to cap off the show and, using the word cap advisedly, also handicap some races. It's a big day around the country, and we're looking forward to talking with the two of them about all of that. So a lot to do on today's show. If you have not yet been paying attention to racing thus far this year, what have you missed? Well, the biggest thing you missed so far, the $9 million Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup. That took place in January at Gulfstream Park. That's a race in which City of Light shined the brightest.
Joel Rosario says it's time to accelerate, and the Breeders' Cup winner is trying to get to the other Breeders' Cup winner with less than 5/16 to go. A driven third is Tom's Day Top and something awesome, and here's the matchup. Accelerate on the outside, City of Light toward the rail. Castellano and City of Light have the lead, and they cut the corner and open up. City of Light puts away Accelerate with an eighth of a mile to go. At the inside, Insigne the Soul, then Bravado. But City of Light keeps going, and City of Light will win it. It's City of Light for Javier Castellano, and a romp in the rain. He won by 5.
Vidal on the call there at Gulfstream Park. Trained by Mike McCarthy, City of Light concluded his career with 6 wins from 11 starts, earned over $5.6 million, got really, really, really good at the end of his career, winning the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile impressively, and then the Pegasus, perhaps even more impressively. One of his beaten rivals in the Pegasus, Accelerate, trained by John Sadler, he ended his career with 10 wins from 23 career starts. He reached nearly $6.7 million in earnings and had won the Breeders' Cup Classic in the race prior to the Pegasus. I said in both cases that they concluded their careers. They are both, unfortunately for racing, off to the breeding shed. They were two of the brightest stars in racing. They're going to be joining a runner who's even brighter than they were. That's Justify. Justify retired after winning last year's Triple Crown. So the brightest stars in racing are off to the breeding shed. They're no longer in racing. It's the, in fact, oldest story of racing. Get good today, get off to the breeders. The breeding shed tomorrow, where the real money resides. So City of Light takes Pegasus World Cup. Meanwhile, we've got a huge weekend on tap racing-wise. I mentioned Laurel, we'll be talking about that. But notably, the Road to the Triple Crown kicks off in earnest in 2 of its major venues. The Grade 2 Risen Star takes place today at the fairgrounds with a full field of 14 set to face the starter. That road goes through the Louisiana Derby. Monday is the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn Park in Arkansas. That's got a field of 11, including the Virginia-bred Bulldor, so it'll be fun to see how he stacks up, and that route goes through the Arkansas Derby. So plenty going on. We're up against a break now. By the way, if you're not able to listen to our whole program, not to worry. You can get the – it'll be archived on the racingbiz.com later on today. Down the road a piece, John Marshall of Colonial Downs is going to join us, Derby Bill, Nick Hahn. Up next, Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club. You're listening to Off to the Races, and we're coming right back.
99.5 and 102.7 ESPN is now Richmond's number one source for sports talk and play-by-play. Morning, afternoon, and night. Thanks for making us the most listened to sports station in RVA and the Tri-Cities.
Hey, golfers, hit more fairway for less free with the Virginia State Golf Association VIP Golf Cart. Purchase $65. VIPs enjoy special pricing and VIP savings while supporting college scholarships. Order your VIP card today at vsga.org.
99.5 and 102.7 ESPN are honoring the people making a difference in the life of your child. Nominate an individual who's a positive effect in the community as the Call Federal Credit Union Coach of the Month. Go to ESPNRichmond.com to register. Just tell us the name of the person you're nominating, the team they're coaching, and the reason you're sending us his or her name. Winners will be selected monthly and recognized during the Black and True Sports Huddle. The Coach of the Month is sponsored by Call Federal, passionately local banking, dedicated to being your financial coach. Let your ideas grow at the Richmond Lawn and Garden Show presented by Woodman, March 1st through 3rd at Richmond Raceway Complex. Meet John Gidding of PLC's Trading Spaces while you shop. Compare and save on ideas for your home and garden. For more info and discount tickets, visit RichmondHomeAndGarden.com.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contact advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 3 gigabytes of high-speed data now for $20 a month for the first 3 months. Just $20 a month on a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Learn more at SimpleMobile.com. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
Requires new auto re-up enrollment by 3/31/19. $23.75 per month after first 3 months. Credit card and Simple Mobile account required for enrollment. See terms and conditions of service at SimpleMobile.com.
You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZQL Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Zix ZQL.
Want to listen at home? Just say, Alexa, play ESPN Richmond. The Amazon Echo is another way to hear 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. It is our inaugural lead listing show of 2019. Appreciate you joining us here to talk thoroughbred racing and breeding. And we're going to bring in our first guest at this point, a longtime friend of the program, the president and general manager of the Maryland Jockey Club, joins us live from Laurel Park, Sal Sinatra. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks very much.
Well, we appreciate your taking a few minutes out of what I am sure is a busy day. You got quite a card you put together there.
Yeah, I'm just looking at overlooking the early scratches, and it held real well. It's over nine, so average field size. So, I mean, it's going to be a difficult card, but really a really good card.
It was exciting to see, and I felt like your stakes coordinator, Coley Blind, and your racing secretary, Chris Merz, did a really nice job bringing these stakes together. And I wanted to actually talk for a minute about sort of that process. You've got horses here, you got lots of local horses, of course, but you got horses coming from New York and Parks and Florida and California and Kentucky. And how does that come together? I mean, are your guys sort of bird dogging these horses for months to get them to come here, or is it something that comes together last minute? What does that process look like?
Well, it goes a long way. You know, we've been trying to bundle these races together, you know, over time, trying to get these 4 and 5 stake days. And I think trainers are starting to get in tune with that theory and they're pointing one towards the stake, and they kind of look at the other ones. And I think that kind of works for us. We're also taking an effort trying to use our sister tracks, Pizza, Anita, and Gulfstream to help feed us. We've done the same. In fact, you even have the El Camino, you know, winner get to invite to the Preakness, you know. So we're going to try and start utilizing our other backsides to help strengthen the stakes, especially here at Laurel.
And we see that with one of the first races I want to talk with you about, because I have sort of a soft spot for these races, is the Miracle Wood. That's a 1 mile race for 3-year-olds, this is kind of the beginning of, like, if you're going to take the local route to the Preakness, you kind of start in the Miracle Wood, and that's always been a fun race, and you've got a California Invader there in the form of Gray Magician from the Peter Miller barn. But you also have a thing that's neat, it's just 6 horses, but you got 3 of them that are Triple Crown nominees.
Yeah, you know, Kelly Ruby's horse has really been impressive. You know, could easily be on the Derby Trail. You know, I think there's a lot of speed in the race. It might set up for Peter Miller. And, you know, it's tough. Most of the 3-year-olds are already you know, committed to the Derby trailer in warmer climates. So it's kind of just us in New York that, you know, if they're going to run, they're going to probably take the easier route with us early. And if they're impressed with the win, it's going probably the Wood Memorial. If they're not, they'll maybe hunt their way to the Tessio and to the Preakness.
Yeah, and we've seen over the years, we've seen more than one horse take this route to the Preakness. I remember King Leatherbury had Malibu Moonshine did it, and we've seen a bunch of horses kind of go through this route. I guess Kid Cruz did it a couple of years ago as well. Do you kind of root for the local horse in the sense that it's something that people locally start paying attention to? Like, oh, this horse might go to the Preakness through here.
I mean, I think we all do here in Maryland. We're, you know, a very prideful state. Me, particularly, I root for a local guy because I was fortunate enough to be living with Smarty Jones that year. It's a terrific feeling if you can get a Derby horse or even a Derby winner on your backside.
I'd imagine it's been a while since there's one of those in Maryland, but everybody has said the Smarty Jones experience in Philadelphia was pretty remarkable.
It was, and I hope to get that feeling here in the near future.
Well, that would be good. And actually, that's going to get to that's going to bring us to the General George. I want to talk about a little bit. It's a 14 horse. Yeah, now you and I have talked, Sal, and this is a day where you've had some bad luck over the years. We've had terrible weather at times. We've had a quarantine that knocked a bunch of horses out one year. But this year, fortunately, everything seems to be breaking right. But obviously, one of the ways that you avoid some of those problems anyway is when you get a race like the General George, and eight of the horses that are in the race are just walking out of their stall on the Laurel Park backside. I'm curious, do you feel like the quality of horse back there is getting better, and that's why there are so many of them in this spot?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you and I both know there's, you know, generational horsemen here, and they were broke for a while. The Sons have, you know, started to mature in the program, and they're actually trying to get a better horse. They, in Maryland, they try and breed a better horse, and they try and race better horses, which is a refreshing, they're not sitting there looking for the, you know, the beaten horses to just grind up. They're looking at to win races, and good races. And as you know, when you get to the summertime, these main specials here produce some nice horses.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the good quality maiden special weights in Maryland have gotten really, really tough.
You've got to be tough. Got Barry Hill. They've always got monsters down there. You know, and that kind of, you know, makes everybody else off their game.
Yeah, for sure. And you get the New York Trippers, you get the Fair Hill horses. It's certainly not easy. And in the General George, I mean, the favorite, although it's the Lucas, the lukewarm favorites, is the Maryland bred, is Still Having Fun from the Tim Keith barn. He's been a really fun story to follow. Has run a number of races, six of them, in fact, at Laurel. So that must be fun for you guys. But, of course, the second choice is another Laurel horse. It's the defending champ, Something Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's done great with that horse. But Tim Keith's horse seems like either wins or has an excuse. I mean, that race he ran at San Diego in the grade one was a really impressive race. He beat down on the rail and he kept on. I actually thought he was going to hold second, but he's a nice, nice horse. I had him up at New York the day he was there, and, I follow him pretty closely.
Yeah, he is a nice horse. In fact, I looked it up. Seven horses have run back out of the Malibu, which was his last start, and all seven have finished first, second, or third. So that race seems to be coming up a pretty rough group of horses. Who's your pick in there?
Well, I'm going to be rooting for Still Having Fun. The only difficulty is where his position is in a 14-horse field. I think
right.
That's going to be the hindrance to him. But the 7-8 should have between the eyes.
Yeah, he loves that 7-8. And I guess the question is the pace is always a question with him, too. He needs plenty of it ahead of him to come rolling late.
That's true, and I expect the uncontested to be up there, and you know they should be a fair and honest. The track's been playing very fast.
It really has.
Yeah, it has. And you know, for a while there was because we were sealing a lot because of all the weather, but I'm a little concerned because it's been pretty pretty dry of late.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting complaints from anybody about it being hard, which is scary. If the horses are coming back flying, it's just been playing lightning fast.
Yeah, I mean, even slow horses are running fast now. There have been a couple races they've run out, track record could be in jeopardy here. So I wonder if we'll see anybody approach the track record of 7 furlongs and 120-4, which is the record. So it'd be fun to see if anybody can make a run at that today. Move to the Fritchie here. This is another cool story. Has been Late Night Powwow, who is Charlestown based, but has been basically Laurel based for the last couple of months, Sal. This is probably the biggest game she's hunted, so it's going to be fun to see how she responds.
Yeah, she's done really well here. And last year, Whistler's Point did really well here, and Shimmering Aspen's like this track, so. It should be a really cool race. It's nice to see, great ones come in from California, first time on the surface, and come right against what I believe are three fillies that really do like the Laurel surface.
Yeah, that's Spice Perfection. That's California Invader who won the La Brea last out, and certainly merits consideration here. But as you say, you've got, Late Night Powwows 2 for 2 here. Shimmering Aspen 5 for 9, Miss Locust Point 4 for 5 with a second. So you certainly have some horses that are going to feel right at home on this Laurel Park surface. You got a pick for us there?
Well, we forgot to mention the guy who wins all the races, Chad Brown, right? this is a fun race. I mean, I want to show this will be really tough sequence with the pick 4 for sure. I think you got to go at least 3 or 4 deep in this particular.
I agree. I mean, I was puzzling over these races yesterday thinking, there's a bunch of horses that could win each of these. Now, I want to turn our attention a little bit on a couple other issues. One is I bumped into you and Tim Ritvo yesterday at the track with a bunch of architects and designers and folks. And talk about sort of, many improvements have been made to Laurel Park, but what should people who go to Laurel look for to be coming in the next couple of years?
Well, that was our team meeting. We've contracted a builder and an architect, both local, one from D.C., one from Baltimore, Gensler and Gil Bain. And we're spitballing what we want to do with this grandstand. We put a bill in to try and get some money. We're looking to maybe put that $80 million into one of those grandstands and get some skyboxes and get it prepared for a possible Breeders' Cup. That's what we're looking at. Possibly, either taking out the front glass or using retractable glass, a walking ring somewhere, higher-end bars, and, trying to do like we did with the e-gaming and the sports book, kind of try and make other amenities to make it a place to play 365 days a year.
What would be do you have a sense of a time frame, assuming the legislation goes through?
Everything goes well. I believe the grandstand size is scheduled to try and be completed by Maryland Million 2020. And then I'll give the clubhouse side after that and try and get that done within 9 months after that, in early 2021.
Wow. Okay. So that would be very soon. What's that?
Obviously, the bill is important, but we're pretty much on schedule right now. Just like I said, spitballing some ideas, waiting for some drawings. When Tim pulls his trigger, and he will at some point, all systems go.
Yeah, when Tim pulls the trigger is pulled for sure. Now, what does this mean? I mean, obviously, a question that that's compulsory on us in the media to ask you every so often is Pimlico. The second phase of the study came out, said $425 million roughly for a total tear down and brand new Pimlico, and there's legislation that has been introduced at the request of the city administration to create a study group to try to figure out how to fund this. I mean, where do we stand on Pimlico at this point?
Well, when you look at the suggestions from the Sports Authority, you know, it's basic to tear down a Pimlico, but what it also does is it eliminates all the barns, which means I wouldn't have training there the rest of the year. And it also has roads going through the track.
Right.
So, you know, we have to make a conscious effort for the industry to have at least Laurel prepared. And there's talks of Bowie being prepared to be a training center just to keep the industry active, you know, 365.
Sure.
You know, if they do build Pimlico, we're still going to have to probably run at least one Preakness at Laurel, which means they have to have the amenities for those people. You know, so, and, it, you know, personally, it's just a question of whether they decide to build this nice arena, we'll go up there and, you know, run the race there, or, you know, Laurel, we got to build out because, you know, we're trying to get that commitment from Breeders' Cup and the Maryland Million, and you saw what we did last year with the music and stuff. And, you know, Belinda's on, you know, trying to build this hub of racing in the Mid-Atlantic and trying to be that hub. You know, you have New York and Laurel and the Gulf Stream. That's kind of what we're trying to do.
Right, right. Talking with Sal Sinatra here. Sal, we're just about at the end of our segment. But the last question I did want to ask you is, we are Virginia. This show airs in Richmond, Virginia, and obviously Colonial Downs is going to be a question on people's minds. Is that something you guys are looking at? Are you in conversations with the Colonial folks, who we'll be talking with immediately after you, about how to fit Maryland? You know, Maryland and Virginia used to fit very tightly together. Are you guys having conversations about how to make that happen going forward?
I believe that's what Tim and John have been working on. I mean, you know, in the past, we didn't run here in the summertime, and, you know, with this giant turf course, that seems ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a spot on the calendar for both of us to survive. They're going to have a lot of money. They've been good partners with their stakes in the past few years to try and help keep the grades. So, you know, we look forward to working with them.
All right. We'll leave it right there. Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club, thank you for joining us, and enjoy the terrific card that you guys have put together today.
Thank you. Good luck today.
All right. I'll need it. Thanks. That was Sal Sinatra. We're up against the break a little bit later. Nick Hahn, Derby Bill going to be here. But right after the break, going to bring in John Marshall from Colonial Downs to talk what is going on in New Kent. You won't want to miss it. You're listening to Off to the Races. We'll be right back.
At Wing Zone, it's all about flavor. Award-winning sausage, hot, juicy wings, and now also wraps and tacos. Dine in, carry out, or delivery. Call 553-1515 or order online at wingzone.com.
Attention, if you have bad credit, you're probably routinely turned down for loans or financing. Safe Credit's team of FICO-certified professionals could help no matter how bad it's gotten. We'll examine your credit report and help you get it back to where you want it, allowing you to qualify for that new car, house, or credit card. We'll create an affordable month-to-month plan for you to repair your credit effectively. Some clients have seen results in as few as 30 to 45 days. Call 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910.
What makes 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN Richmond's number one sports station?
We bring you more.
More local sports talk with 5 hours every weekday.
More opinions
with Bob Black, Andrew Wallace, Matt Joseph, and Greg Burton.
More play-by-play
with the Richmond Spiders college basketball NCAA tournament and the return of Major League Baseball this April.
Plus more frequencies than any other station in RDA.
At 99.5 and 102.7 FM, plus 950 and 1240 AM. Keep it locked day and night to ESPN Richmond.
Hey guys, good news. The expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And now get your first month supply for just $5 at 4hims.com/happy. Hims connects you with real doctors online who can prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. So easy. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to 4hims.com/happy. That's 4hims.com/happy.
See website for full details. Not all services through the HIMSS platform are available in all 50 states.
24/7, 365. You're up and at 'em every day, so you don't want something like Medicare Part D to slow you down. At Walgreens, we'll take care of your Medicare Part D prescriptions, saving you time and money. Make the switch to Walgreens today and get more by earning 100 balance reward points and save up to $5 on each Medicare Part D prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Prescription savings apply to Tier 1 generics when you fill a preferred versus a non-preferred pharmacy on select plans. Points can't be earned in New York, New Jersey, or Arkansas. Other restrictions and limitations apply.
Hey, Richmond, it's Michael.
Listen to Trey Wingo and me every weekday morning at 6, now on your FM dial. 95 and 102.7 ESPN.
And hey, welcome back, everybody. Off to the races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We are talking thoroughbred racing and breeding. And hey, if you don't catch the show or don't catch all of the show today, check out theracingbiz.com. We will have the show archived as well as lots of other good news and information about Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. And one of the big stories that we have been following over the last several months has been the how everything old is new again, and one of the things old that's new again is Colonial Downs. And joined right now by John Marshall, the general manager of the new Colonial Downs. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Frank.
We appreciate you making a little time on a Saturday morning for us. Thank you. Let's start with this. Just give us kind of an overview, the thumbnail sketch of kind of where we are in this process of getting the OTB network rejuvenated and kind of getting towards the rebirth of live racing at Colonial.
Absolutely. In a lot of ways, the process is heading to the starting gate at Colonial Downs. August 8th, it's post time at Colonial Downs. So the revival is real. The revival is here, and the revival is new. It's probably the biggest story in thoroughbred racing since maybe the opening of Kentucky Downs or the acquisition of Race States at Gulfstream Park. There are a lot of other good stories out there, but it's really hard to top what we have going on at Colonial Downs and Rosie's Gaming.
Go ahead.
To let you know how our openings look like, it looks to be that we're going to open Rosie's at Colonial Downs late April, early May, around Derby weekend, where we'll have our HHR units underway, our grand opening celebration behind us. Then we're moving to Vinton outside of Roanoke, and we're opening Rosie's Vinton 2 weeks after. And then the Rosie's SEAL team will head back to Richmond and open Rosie's Richmond in June. Then we're heading to New Kent. We're opening up the stable area July 25th for full resident stabling, full-on training leading up to August 8th, our opening day. A 15-day live race meet concluding September 7th this year. But the Rosie parade continues on. We're going to Hampton, and we're opening Rosie's Hampton late September. But wait, it's not over. Rosie's Chesapeake. Rosie's Chesapeake in late Q4, early Q1 2020. That's phase one of our project. We're deploying 3,000 HHR units across 5 locations in 1 year, all intended to contribute to the rebirth of live thoroughbred racing at Colonial Downs. It's exciting. We had a job fair this week. Hired 54 people so far, visited with 300, and the team will be meeting folks now through the openings. The groundswell support has been overwhelming from the horsemen, from the communities, from everyone that we meet here in Southern Virginia. There's so much energy and excitement about bringing back thoroughbred racing.
Talk for a minute about the HHR, the historical horse racing machines. I mean, for folks who haven't seen them, and like those of us in Maryland, and really in most states, I think, have never seen these things, talk about what they're like.
Sure. They're in action in Kentucky, Wyoming, Arkansas. What they're like, they're actually parimutuel terminals that behave like Class 3 slot gaming on the outside, but on the inside, the outcomes of those wagers made on the game are driven by a historic horse race library made up of over 80,000 horse races that already happened, which are selected randomly by our computer system, which randomly generates the outcome of the game that's played by the customer. So they could fool you by look and feel like a slot machine, but they're actually a parimutuel terminal that's programmed by parimutuel nomenclature and parimutuel wagering, but systematically they function a bit like a slot machine. So the energy that they generate and the experience that we've learned from Kentucky Downs, Oak Lawn Park, the OCB system in Wyoming, and our other partners that do supply the technology, they will have an appeal. They'll appeal to horse players, but more importantly, this is the opportunity to introduce horse racing to a new audience. That's our marketing plan. We're planning to introduce live thoroughbred racing to a brand new audience of folks that otherwise would not have visited without the HHR entertainment.
We're talking with John Marshall of Colonial Downs here on Off to the Races. And, John, you mentioned all the ROGIs, the OTB facilities that you're going to be opening. What is that going to mean for, you know, the handful of existing OTB facilities, such as Ponies and Pints in Richmond?
Yeah, the folks at Ponies and Pints, Buckets, Breakers, Windmill, they become part of the ROGIs family on April 1st. We'll assume leadership of those facilities. So those OTBs remain, and they'll be injected with our marketing plans. And for those that want a traditional, quiet, parimutuel OTB setting, we'll be there ready for them.
So those are not going to get historical racing machines. They're just going to remain what they have been?
That's right.
Now, John, one of the things that feels a little bit different this year, this time versus prior times, and you know, maybe it's just my faulty memory, but it feels like one area that you guys have been focusing on has been sort of community engagement things. I was watching the video up on your website of the Miles Jones School event that you guys held. Talk a little bit about your community outreach and sort of what the thought process behind all that is.
A community outreach is so important, particularly when you're launching or relaunching a new product to market like thoroughbred racing. The community outreach has been one of three pillars of our marketing plan. By getting out there, reintroducing, if not introducing for the first time, thoroughbred racing to people that otherwise had not seen it. So we're going to the street and taking thoroughbred racing to the people without expecting them to come to the track or go online. We're coming out to them, and we're doing it in a benevolent way. Our event at Miles Jones was thrilling. It was the first miniature horse race at Miles Jones High School, the Richmond Derby, going for a purse of $25,000 in technology donation to the school. It's a lot of fun, and the team really loves it. Meeting new people, because we're all new. We're new to Virginia. A lot of our team members are new, and it's our way of meeting people and putting a face to the product to say, hey, come and see us. ROGIs is your place. And I know the children are not going to be there, but the teachers, the administrators, the folks at Miles Jones, and the children are going to go home and tell mom and dad that they saw a miniature horse race at school. The mom and dad will be inquisitive enough to say, wow, hey, that Colonial Downs, I think they're reopening. But we got other community ideas, and the other two arms of our marketing strategy, of course, is traditional database marketing, which we do well in gaming, and also by doing the right thing within the industry and industry advocacy, whether it be through the horsemen organizations or the industry groups, being a great neighbor and a great partner with thoroughbred racing. So those are the three pieces we're focusing on, and so far, so good.
Now, looking towards the racing, which is going to be August 8th to September 7th, have you guys started to get a handle on sort of what the meet is going to look like, or is that still up in the air a little bit?
Well, a little bit of both. We got our arms around a stakes schedule now, and our plan is to release the stakes schedule for 2019 on March 12th at the National HBPA Convention in Clearwater. The condition book will soon follow. We are very close to announcing our race secretary, which is a name that all the horsemen in the Mid-Atlantic will know. And we hope to be able to do that in the coming weeks. Jill Byrne is joining us in a few weeks as our Vice President of Racing Operations. She'll be heading up everything live racing, industry advocacy, and simulcast wagering across the Rosies and the OTBs. But the meat of it is coming together through collaboration with the VHBPA. We're doing this together, and there's going to be something for everyone, whether it be dirt or turf. It's a great time to be a horseman in the Mid-Atlantic. It really is.
Yeah, I think that's true in many ways. I'm curious, the Virginia Derby is scheduled for, I can't remember the exact, 8/31, August 31st. And one of the things that's sort of interesting is the whole three-year-old turf niche, which Colonial Downs really was sort of the dominant player in for quite a while, has gotten really crowded over recent, in the last few years. And NYRA just announced that they're going to have several, they're going to do a turf triple that's for three-year-olds. It's going to end with a race in August at Saratoga on the turf going long. So how are you guys thinking of, you know, where's the Virginia Derby going to fit in a niche that it used to be the main target in?
Good question, Frank. We've been working hard to complement our neighbors in the Mid-Atlantic, primarily Laurel Park and Saratoga at that time. Delaware, Monmouth now, with Monmouth's new news. But specifically to the Virginia Derby, we've met with Martin Panza from NYRA, and we worked on some programming, and we're going to go a mile and an eighth on the turf on August 31st, and I believe Saratoga's turf triple on the same day is going a mile,
and
a mile and a half, possibly.
I talked
to Martin. I said, well, Martin, let's go short. We'll go short of Colonial. You go long. Perhaps there are some horses at Saratoga that could be a better fit for Colonial on that day. But yeah, we're working together. Should be a sigh of relief to horsemen that we're working really hard to cooperate and to cohabitate and complement each other's cars. Mainly Laurel Park. We've extended the invitation to Laurel Park to cooperate and collaborate. And as soon as Jill gets here, I think those efforts will ramp up. But with NYRA, that's underway, and we've got calls to be made to Delaware. Look, this is a celebration of thoroughbred horse racing for everyone. We're not putting a flag in the ground claiming to be the dominant racetrack in the Mid-Atlantic, but we want to be a welcoming racetrack and a racetrack where horsemen want to come.
Have you guys settled on a purse level for the Virginia Derby?
Right now it looks like 250.
Mm-hmm.
The horsemen have proposed 250. It's still a grade three, which is great. So, it's a good reason to come down. I mean, the turf course needs no introduction from me. Those listeners are probably more familiar with it from a player's perspective and a horseman's perspective than I am. It's a great asset to have, and it's for everyone to enjoy.
And we're just about at the end of our segment here, but I had Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club on in the prior segment. And you just alluded to this, but I'm going to kind of ask the question I asked him in reverse, which is, in years past, the thing that made Colonial go was that Maryland closed down and the program shifted to Colonial. That's probably not going to exactly be the case this year. So how do you guys – are you – working with Laurel and working with Maryland Jockey Club to try and work out an arrangement that suits everybody?
Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of different things on how we can, you know, complement each other. But the fact of race office sharing, valet sharing, starter sharing, when do we start? We want to do that. We're happy to do it. We intentionally stepped out and put our first year's dates on the Simonia meet to help in that manner. So it would be great if Laurel adjusted their dates and cleared the way for Colonial a little bit. Look, in every relationship, it takes both parties to participate. And Colonial is participating with open arms.
All right, we're going to leave it right there today, but I'm sure, John, we'll be talking down the road quite a bit as we get closer to the 2019 meet. John Marshall of Colonial Downs, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Frank. Come see us.
I will certainly do that, and I'll look forward to it. That was John Marshall of Colonial Downs. If you didn't catch all of that, it's going to be archived later on theracingbiz.com. We are up against our final break, and then when we come back, the mainstays for so many years of the program, Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hine, going to join us. You're listening to Off to the Races. We're coming right back.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
I'm just your average, everyday, hardworking plumber. But when it comes to my business, only the best. Like commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive. They help design a customized insurance solution that gets the job done right. Just like me.
An actor trying to sound like a plumber. Excruciating. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided in service by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurance.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes, and you haven't slept a wink. ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZQL Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZQL.
This is Peter on his motorcycle. And this is Peter off his motorcycle.
Please move your paper off my desk. Thank you.
On his motorcycle.
I feel so nice!
Off his motorcycle.
I feel like we covered that already, so...
On.
Wow! Look at the ocean!
Off.
Look at this article I found about urban planning.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you honest. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive can be encouraged for the affiliates.
It's power time! At Walmart Family Mobile. For just $49.88 a month, you can get a truly unlimited plan powered by T-Mobile. Plus now, you get 5 gigabytes of mobile hotspot, giving you the power to surf, share, and stream from any device. Great phones, great value, it's all here. Visit MyFamilyMobile.com or pick up a plan at Walmart today. Walmart Family Mobile. Get everything you love about Walmart in mobile. Video typically streams at DVD quality. See terms at MyFamilyMobile.com.
Covering our local teams with a local passion.
We're dedicated to the most sports talk for true RVA sports fans. 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Off to the races. It has been said, and perhaps truthfully, that the best part of Off to the Races is listening to what Matt Joseph selects for our musical enjoyment as we come out of break. But it's also been said truthfully that really the best segment is listening to Derby Bill Watson and Nick Hine, who are with me here today. Derby Bill, how's it going?
Yes, sir, Frank. Virginia's happy, man. We put Frank Dusty on a horse and race him at New Kent, and we'll be there to bet it.
That would be, as long as the horse is walking or trotting, we should be okay. Any faster than that, we're going to have a problem. Nick Hine, how's it going?
Doing well, Frank. Congratulations on the 22nd premiere of Off to the Races, Derby Bill. Certainly very attractive. Colonial's icon, almost very identifiable with racing in Virginia, and it's just a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for the kind words, although you guys are the ones who deserve the lion's share of the credit for so many years, 22 years of off to the races, and you guys are certainly deserve a lot of credit for sticking with that for all those years. I'm just along, you know, I'm the Johnny come lately, picking up the pieces a little bit. But let's talk racing here. We got two graded stakes we want to address at Laurel Park, and then we'll maybe talk about the race at the fairgrounds as well. But let's start with the Grade 3 General, George. Just a bumper crop here. 14 horses going to face the starter in the General, George. Derby Bill, can you help us make some sense of this thing?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent field. Hopefully the weather holds off. We're snowblind here in Virginia right now, so we're glad the race has been moved to Laurel from New Kent. The General George, he's been able to, George has always handled the snow well, the General George, back from the Delaware, crossing the Delaware days. But $250,000 purse is what shines here, and 14 horse field reminds me of Colonial Downs racing here, but it's on the dirt today, so I'm not sorting it out with something awesome here out of the Pegasus race. I mean, you got a horse coming that was over, you know, a little bit over his level at Pegasus down in Gulfstream, but comes back and should handle this field. The number 13 was a question mark. He won the Charlestown Classic on the bullpen, so he can pretty much run a race anywhere. So I'm going with something awesome to win this one. Still having fun. The six horse has a home track advantage and 4-6 at Laurel. So I'm going to go 13-6 exactly to start off the season.
I like it. I like both those horses, and something awesome. The defending champ in this spot has the a guy who won a few races at Colonial Downs on his back too, in the form of Edgar Prado. Nick Hahn, what say you?
Well, I bet something awesome in the $9 million Pegasus handicap. I think I'll, even though the horse finished 10th in the race, got a little bit of a tip on that horse. But if I'm going to bet him in a $9 million race, I think I'm pretty comfortable backing him in a $250,000 race here in the horse. So, and how about this for the start of the handicap season on races? I'm agreeing with Kirby Phil completely here. I like not having so that 13-6 exacta is what I wrote down. The only two horses I put on my sheet for the General George.
Wow, you guys are I'm a little worried here if you're going to agree like this. So there's no love. A horse I like in the spot a little bit. I actually agree with both of you and landed on something awesome on top, and I think you got to use still having fun in your mix, but I like Lakai a little bit here. He loves Laurel. He's won 7 times at Laurel. He's won at the distance. He's grade 3 placed. He was second in the DeFrancis last year. And he's a horse with those two, something awesome and still having fun, are both kind of closers. Lakai, a little bit more tactical than they are, figures to be a little more involved early. And so he's a horse I want to use in this spot as well, but certainly a lot of ways to go in the General George. Let's turn our attention to the Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie, $250,000 for the gals. They're also going 7/8 of a mile. Interesting group here, including a Grade 1 winner, a Grade 3 winner, a bunch of other, a Grade 2 winner, a bunch of good horses in this spot. Nick Hahn, what are you looking at in the Fritchie?
Well, Peter Miller is bringing a horse out from California for this race in Pipe Perfection, a very high-performing horse out at Santa Anita and Del Mar. He's been training pretty well coming into the race, brings Slade and Pratt to pilot Pipe Perfection here. 3-1 in a 7-furlong, one-turn race at Laurel, I think can take advantage of as long as the filly gets a clean start, I think can take control and be there all the way around. So I'm going to take Spice Perfection to run here. It's the only ticket that I have in this race.
Well, he's just singling on the one. I like it. What about you, Derby Bill?
Yeah, we do have John Marshall, the Chief Justice Supreme Court, on the Colonial Downs General Manager. So if we have any differential, he can step in anytime he wants as the former pre-Chief Justice of America. So I'm going to go with late-night powwow here. Obviously, the the reservations are trying to stir up things in Virginia with a casino, so I'm going to tribute this one to Late Night Powwow, who's 10 for 11 and 2 for 2 at Laurel, is the horse for the course. 7 to 2 is not a lot of value here. No, next horse, Peter Miller's horse, still perfection. I do like that horse. I also like a horse called Don the Destroyer here, Karen McLaughlin, coming out of a $100,000 stakes winner here, Don the Destroyer. So those three I really couldn't separate. So I'm saying a 1, 2, and a 4.
This is uncanny how we're all ending up in the same place here. So I'm just going to say no more about it other than I find it a little bit frightening that we all seem to agree on everything in these races with big fields. So that's the General George and the Barbara Fritchie. Plenty of agreement from Nick Hahn and Derby Bill Watson. Let's turn our attention to the Triple Crown Trail, fellas, and give a look to the Risen Star, the $400,000 Grade 2 Mile and 16th at the Fairgrounds. This one's got 14 horses. A lot of ways to go in here. Derby Bill, why don't you lead us off as we start to get serious about heading towards the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah. Risen Star, 72 and warm down there. Posted at 7 o'clock tonight, so plenty of time to get some preliminary cash flow going at Laurel and then head down here. And I like that horse, Henley's Joy. Obviously, Colonial Downs people are praying that the Ramsey send a bunch of turf horses for the meet here in August. So Kitten's Joy's son here, bred by the Ramseys, had a maiden turf win here. Obviously wants the 50 points is the key here, the first 50-point Kentucky Derby race of the year. So the focus, that's why the field's so long. And turf horses are going on dirt for the first time, like Catholic Boy showed us it can be done last year. But the Ramsey bloodline here, bluegrass cat breeding here on Henley. Henley's Joy for the upset of War of Will. He switched from turf to dirt also, with a lot of horses are trying to do this to get in the Derby field. This one might be better on turf later in the year. Two wins. The LeConte was just spectacular for this horse, and Tyler Baffleon's riding his butt off for Mark Chase. So it's going to go 5-14 here. Henley's Joy and War of Will.
I like it. I like the 10-1 upset on top there with Manny Franco in the irons for Mike Maker. Nick, what say you on the Risen Star?
You know, the interesting thing about this race is look at all the starts you see by these three-year-olds in this race. I mean, there is no Justify in this field whatsoever. I think Justify was just arriving on the scene about this time last year and then just tore through the Triple Crown. In the Risen Star, you have 14 horses. You have all these horses have like 5, 7, you know, odd of starts among the group. I'm going to go actually those lightly raced horse, and I'm going to go a little bit longer than Derby Bill here. Jerry Shields bred Country House. Jerry Shields passed away over the winter, so his son is now the owner of the horse and his wife. And a Country Horse, or House rather, is 20-1 and getting a pretty good price coming out of that race at Gulfstream. I like that price there. The big favorite there, War of Will, is 5-2, but Bill Mott has Country House in this field. I like this horse. I also like, we talked a little bit about the futures betting. Hidden Troll is another mock horse that's on the Triple Crown Trail and getting a lot of interest. So look for Bill Mott to kind of reemerge in the Triple Crown a little bit more prominently this year.
A top quality but conservative horseman, so he doesn't always have horses for the Triple Crown. So there's our Risen Star selections. We are at the end of our program, so I'm going to give you guys 10 seconds each. Last word, Nick, go.
Welcome back, Colonial Downs. It's going to be exciting this fall to see all these owners and trainers back. Very familiar faces in our own home state. I can't wait. I know we like to talk about the states and stuff, but the small racing is very exciting at Colonial Downs. Really looking forward to it.
Bill, 10 seconds, go.
El Camino Real Derby winner gets bid in the Preakness. Automatic entry Bob Baffert versus Jerry Hoffman door for, so check that one out. A horse called More Ice in the
All afternoon. Right. That's the final word. Thanks so much to Matt Josephs behind the glass, our guests, Derby Bill, Nick Hahn, Sal Sinatra, John Marshall. Thanks to our listeners for checking in with us. We always appreciate it. Keep up with racing all week long on theracingbiz.com. Tune in next week at the same time to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding.